Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to KingSkyRadioTV.com. I'm going to be your host today, DJ Kevin T. Scott, but we're going to switch things up a little bit. We're going to talk about some investments. Now, you know, on this station, we wear many hats. Today, we are DJing investments. You heard me. We are DJing investments. I have a special guest online to talk about investments in the 21st century. So he's going to educate me and he's going to get to you. As we bring him in, we're going to let, I believe this is Eastbound by Foreplay. We're going to let a little music play and then we're going to get down to business. Smooth and cool. That's the way we want our money to work. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce Lamont Cooley. Boy, we're getting phone calls in already. Lamont Cooley has been on King Sky Radio before, and today he's going to talk about pretty much so what he wants to, because he's the expert. That's what I consider him to be. So we're going to listen in and listen up. Lamont, give him the word.
Hello, how you doing? King Sky Radio.
The fans said, hey, give us some more. So Lamont, what can you tell us about investing in the 21st century? How would you put it in a category in layman's terms that we can understand what we need to do moving forward?
Well, I'd say that the main thing that we need to do moving forward is educate ourselves. The movement of money, the speed of money, that is increasing. And that means that we have to learn and be prepared for it. The economy is growing. It's scaling up, and that means the movement of money is going to increase. So that looks like a digital space, and a lot of people are still not aware that our biggest banks and institutions do not use the internet to move money around. So the biggest thing to change is that they will be using a new form of the internet, Web3, some might call it, to move large payment flows. So that's the main thing that we need to be educating ourselves on.
So let me see if I can get some clarity with that. Moving money, transitioning money from one place to another, supposedly with the speed of light. Why is that important?
Well, it's important because first to understand the nature of money. And money has to support things. So it's like a vessel in itself, or a body. And that body, if you imagine blood running through the veins, blood can't stop. It has to continue to move. It has to continue to circulate. So the problems and the issues that we're having with money on the global scale is that there's low liquidity. So the blood is not circulating as efficiently as it needs to.
So you don't want us to starve?
Not at all. You want to get that blood pressure. You want to get everything moving. That's what we want to have. And if you just scale down on a smaller level, imagine, you know, you get your paycheck and it takes 3 to 5 business days to clear. That's what liquidity problems look like. It should be more instant. It should be more rapid. You should have access to your liquidity on demand.
So the time frame of when that money actually becomes usable to pay the electric man and the gas man and to get gas for your car, those are the things on a small scale that we're talking about. But on a larger scale, we're talking about payrolls and things like that, but it all filters in to the same mechanism. When do I have access to use it?
Correct. The speed of capital.
So as we go forward with the banking industry, why is banking the component that needs to be upgraded or advanced so that the consumer, you and I, and our listening audience, we should be concerned about how that works? Am I following you correctly?
We should be concerned for very many reasons. In the United States, we have a money system called the dollar, and it is our form of trust. It is where we hold our value, and it's the mechanism by which we plan our processes from. So, people who are studied and aware of what's going on in our financial system know that our banking structures have broke the trust in our community. The money system has been used against the people in very many ways that degrade the purchasing power. Trying not to use the word inflation because people don't really understand that concept very much. But essentially speaking, they've broken the trust in the dollar. And the dollar is now in line to be usurped by another currency. And that's what the other nations around the globe, that's what they're working on currently.
So if they are successful, would that system be better? Or would it be something that's going to take us a while to get used to? Will we have to make any major changes in the way that we think and process information?
Absolutely. Obviously, if we do nothing and we just sit and watch, then they're going to implement whatever they want to. But this is our opportunity to get involved and participate in ways where we can structure what this new system looks like. And, I like to relate many things to the concept of God, because I have a belief that God is money. And you kind of have to have an understanding to be able to see that, right? So they say you should have a personal relationship with your creator, a relationship that no other can come between, a relation that's not dependent on any sort of external validation or trust, keyword trust. So I say if you have this sacred relationship with God, then inherently you must also have a relationship with all things within God, or better put, the God within all things. So now God is all things, birds, bees, and the trees, then certainly God is money.
When you say that, that is going to sound offensive, but it's not. So you have to break that into some smaller pieces. When you say God is money, the people that you're talking to, they're thinking about the collection plate. I can tell you right now, they're thinking about the collection plate.
It still applies, as above, so below. So you don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to believe it. Just pull out a dollar bill and read it. It says right at the top, in God we trust.
Okay.
So in other words, within God, we put our trust, a.k.a. money, right? So in a sense, God is quite literally money. It's essentially the first form of external validation, the first form of external trust, the first external God. That's what money system is.
Okay.
So this is the perspective that I'm coming from, and if you understand it, then you can build this understanding inwards to the self, and that's how you first understand the nature of money. I'm not literally saying money is God, but I'm saying the nature, all things in nature follow the pattern that is God. Okay. So you can find this pattern within all things, especially money. So the dollar is an inflationary debt instrument, and it's built on trust.
So at this...
That therein is the problem, because we started this conversation saying that our banking structures have broken the public trust.
So what should we be doing now, in your opinion, and me believing your opinion, because I believe you are the expert of that 21st century. What should we be doing now to protect our money, the success that comes behind it, and how should we be training our children to accept these new concepts that are right before us?
Great question. We need to start putting our value within truth and no longer putting it within trust. So the new money system is a truth-based system. It's not based in trust. So a truth-based system is deflationary by nature, right? We're talking about money. And they hold their value through consensus, which is basically mathematical truth, right? The old system is double entry accounting system. It's basically, you know, democracy, red versus blue. You have to trust each side of the transaction versus a triple entry accounting system or a consensus, or aka a federated Byzantine agreement, which is built on truth. The first project to pioneer this type of mechanism is the XRP ledger. So anything around that needs to be studied and looked at with a finer comb.
Now, that is a major fastball. In my time, it would be someone like a Sandy Koufax throwing it and a guy like me trying to hit it. So when you say the XRP, can you get into that a little bit so people will have the clarity that they need to understand what you just said?
Yeah. Well, we're talking about money systems. We're talking about the old money system, which is, based on trust. And we're talking about what the new system looks like for the globe. And the new system looks like a truth-based system. And that's best. As all the developers have come into agreement, it seems to be the best type of system to build upon. Consensus is reached when a minimum number of nodes agree that the solution presented is correct. So they all have to come into consensus. So that's where the truth is. And if there is something that's outlying that's not in line, then that's rejected.
So let me.
So you imagine if you have it in the old system, you could write a check, right, and give someone a check, and before they get to the bank and cash it, 3 to 5 business days, you can change the transaction, and that's typically called check fraud. But this is the loopholes that are within the old accounting system, where each ledger has to match, and there's time differences between each ledger.
So when you. The word that you've been throwing around is truth. The truth of what happens with money, as you give your explanation as to what's happening with it. When we see that check and we give it to the person that we're supposed to give it to, then it goes through the process. Are you saying that process that it used to go through is inefficient?
It is very inefficient. They charge fees, and a lot of times the fees are unknown. So we need to start thinking about money in a more personal way, meaning we don't project our trust outside of ourselves. We need to be thinking about money more like a self-custody situation, more like not involving a third party like a bank.
So
we need to think like thinkers ourselves.
So take us to the promised land of what we should be doing now. Now, I may have asked that question in a different way, but I want to know, and what the audience wants to know, am I confident in using checks? Does the bank that I've been depositing my money in, should I begin to change this practice? And then as I change the practice, where do I go to make money, to put money, to save money?
That's a very big question. I'll try to shorten it, the answer. But your relationship with money should be more godlike. Let's say the relationship should feel like truth. It should feel like interdependence. You know, it's all about how you go about your inner growth. If you want your money to scale, then you kind of have to look at scaling yourself. What I'm alluding to is like essentially the biggest investment you can make is an investment within yourself. We're at a transformational stage within our society and within this world today, and in turn, we're at a transformational stage as individuals because as above, so below. So the global financial system is being reborn. Actually, in fact, it's being scaled up. And those vibrationally attuned within this shift will also see a tenfold increase in scale. Increase in scale to their mental body, their spiritual body, their physical body, and most importantly, their financial body, a.k.a. their God body. So your finance has a direct correlation with your energetic state, your vibration, or more specifically, your state of consciousness. You know, and this is not something I want people to believe. Like, I just need you to know it, because knowing is further than believing. So the more you understand about yourself, the more you understand about money. You know, we need to form programs that create a framework for the new money, so that the new and incoming generations have a moral and fair ground to build upon. Because we're all builders. That's what we're here doing. So we need a new Bible for money, a new God, God anew, if we're in relation to our money. You know? Make it personal. Program our money. You know, program your money in your image. And that's what these digital innovations do. They allow us to take control of our money at the helm, at the seat. And we can be programmatic about how we need it to work for us. And as it relates to the younger generations, you know, you can look at it like game theory. A lot of the younger generations understand the form of gaming. And they're getting ready to pretty much gamify money. So the more we understand about these things, the more opportunity we have to grow with it. Okay. And that's how I look at investing. Invest your time into learning blockchain, AI, Web3. Invest your energy. Increase your efficiency with your budget so that you can create that positive flow of liquidity, which you can then reinvest into what sustains you. Build a stable base of truth and knowledge and inner value in order to increase your wealth.
So
I always think about zooming in before zooming out when it comes to investing. Affect the things that are closer in first. Invest in your children. You know, they're quite literally your future. So, you know, then you invest in your neighborhood, in your town, in your city. You know, and at that point, you have a bigger view of how the energy is flowing around those elements.
So now, these are some of the things that I think will help the audience. If you said invest in your children, now some people are not going to like this, but they think investing in their children is sending them to cheerleader practice or football camps or basketball camps or tennis camps. They think that is an investment into them. And in some sense, it is. But if you were to offer your advice and say, what would you be trying to teach a child as they grow into more maturity now today about money?
That's a big question. I'm having a hard time answering questions like that simply because when we say children, everyone has a different perspective of what a child is.
Good.
Sometimes to me, a child is a 30-year-old. it all has to do with your personal growth. And, you know, and like, to be honest, a child, I don't think the idea of an external self or money, an external value, external trust, I don't think those type of ideas should be imparted on a child too young to receive it that way.
Okay.
I think that children need to be building their inner joy, their inner happiness through their expressions, through their art, through play, through recreation, and expressing themselves, which really is investing in themselves. If they do go to school and they get a gym coach and they're studying gymnastics or whatever, that is an investment in self, because all is self. And when they get older, then you can find ways to express to them how to extract that inner value that they've built, that they've invested, because an investment is a long-term strategy, and we're here speaking about investments. And that's why I bring up children, because children are literally yourselves. It's a long-term investment. So it's a different way to go about extracting that value. It's not an immediate gain.
But
it's the closest thing to your inner circle. And if you have those relationships, you understand how to give into those natures and how to balance those things. You have a better understanding of how to extract liquidity from all things.
Okay, so if I gave you or you gave me $100 and I use that money to invest into some type of commodity stock or whatever, what would you do? Because that's what people want to know. Well, you know, they're selfishly lazy. I don't want to think that hard. This is too complicated for me. Those are the excuses that everyday Americans use. That's why some get to some places and some don't, of laziness and just not wanting to put the work in. But if you had someone to say, okay, here's $100, I can spare $100, what would you do with that $100?
I mean, we've spoken about this many times. I personally would invest in digital assets. That's just what I do. I believe digital assets are the new gold. And it's because you can own it physically and you can custody it physically. There's nothing else that you can do that with other than cash, you know. But no matter what you have, whether it's gold, whether it's a stock, all those things are held in third-party custody options. You know, if you buy gold on the stock market, you don't know where it physically is. It's not in your possession, therefore it's not yours, because possession is not against the law. So you want to invest in things that you hold physically within yourself. That's why I say investing in self is the biggest investment. So the next biggest thing, obviously, that you can hold self-custody outside of cash, because you don't want to hold a whole bunch of cash on you, because someone can just walk up to you and take it from you. But if you have a digital asset, that's something that's inherent to you once you have it self-custody. And there's nothing, or ain't no one that can take it, not even a government that can take it from you. So this helps people who may have issues with citizenship, and they're moving from one region to another. It helps with people who are going through divorces, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there's a way to be self-sovereign when it comes to your finance. And we have to start thinking about not putting our money in other people's hands to make money. We have to think about keeping the value with ourselves to make money and looking for a yield. So eventually, a lot of these crypto assets that pass all the regulatory tests that are out there right now, eventually they will be giving yields on these items, like they used to when back in the day when we had a savings account and they gave us 7% or whatever it was back then, on savings accounts. You'll be able to earn a yield on what you hold because you're providing liquidity to the greater cost. And that's how the nature of things are going to be. So it ends up becoming, like, how can I best serve? Because at the end of the day, that's how I look at it. But you gotta have a personal relationship with things closer to yourself. At least that's what I think God would do. You're here to serve, right? So yes. Your money should be here to serve. You shouldn't be trying to hoard it. So we have to flip our thinking about that. Let me not put my money in a bank account and hoard it for a rainy day. Let me put my money to use on the broader market and let whoever needs the liquidity be able to use the liquidity to move their money. And I'll take a yield from that.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break because I got a call in. I see on my screen, and they said they have to go to the bathroom. If I could give them a break and let them go to the bathroom, and we're going to come back with some more of a great investment mind, Lamont Cooley. We'll be right back. Well, we're listening to the mighty sounds of George Benson as we get more into money. This upbeat tune is where we want our money to go, up. We're going to bring Lamont back in just a moment, but we're going to let you enjoy some of George Benson. So we are talking a little bit about meditation and how to keep your mind focused on what your goals are. If you can give us some pointers, because I know you are advanced in some of these areas, not all of them, but some of them. Could you give us some guidance as to how we can settle our minds in and allow for us to pick and choose the right things that in the right ways to have our mind staying focused?
There's many, many different ways you can go about that, about being more mindful. You can definitely be meditating in a mindful way all throughout your day. You can start in the morning with affirmations. You could have words written on a vision board, images, things that you're projecting within yourself. And you'll start to notice that things surrounding you in your external experience will start to mimic what you've been setting your mind and your intentions on. And it doesn't happen right away, but when it starts to slowly happen, you kind of fall more into it more till those things and your intentions become your truth.
Okay. So now in terms of how we tie that into investing, if you had to split a day up, what would you tell our listeners to look for in the course of a day, every day, because we want to form a habit of looking at and seeing how we should present our monies.
Right. Great question. I definitely think it's important to block out some time. Everyone's scale is different, but it's important to block out some time to spend in deep research, not while the game is on, not while, dedicated time and research into the blockchain world, into learned enough. But in reality, we all have ways that we can make our budget more efficient. You know, maybe, you know, Netflix, maybe we don't need a Netflix subscription. So if we spent 2 hours a day on Netflix and we say, okay, I rescue back that $14.99 or whatever it costs. But the more important thing is you rescue 2 hours back out of your day. Now you can put that 2 hours into your research. And then you have the cash flow of that $14.99 or whatever that fee was off of, you know, you have that liquidity back in your budget. So it's about getting lean, you know, and getting right. If you're working out, right, and you're trying to get yourself into shape, what are you going to do? You're going to consume less, which increases your health budget. So it's all a relation. You have a direct relation with your finance in the same way. You know, you want to get lean, which means you want to be less of a consumer, which means you want to spend less. And if you spend less, then that automatically means you'll have more to invest.
Tell me, should couples be doing that? They need to hear the concepts and how this works to make sure that they have a successful lifetime plan. Should couples be involved, or should one take the dominant role in that?
I for sure think couples 100% should be involved in those roles, because if we're talking about getting rid of the correspondent banking and having third-party institutions in control of our money, and we're talking about self-custodying our value and our wealth, right? Then that means our significant other is our closest banking partner. Hmm. So that's how we have to look at all of our relationships, whether it's your counselor, whether it's your attorney, whether it's your brother, your father, your mother. These are all like banking relationships, because you invest your time into those relationships, and that time is valuable. It may not be valuable in terms of dollar bills, but it is valuable. So all your relationships outside of you should be your banking partners. You should see it as such. And the relationships that bring back more, those are the ones you want to continue to build and grow more with.
What I'm going to challenge our listening audience to get together with other couples and begin to have these conversations. Sometimes we are so independent that we're reckless. And for us to get together as a small community, even if it's just two couples, that's four people focused on one goal as to how to advance ourselves financially, legally, and you know, leaving a legacy for our children to feed off of. So I'm going to challenge the audience to do that, to look at your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, whomever, and begin to have these conversations around in your communities with other people. Because if we don't begin to work more unified, it's a slower process, I think. And we're here to help push the concept of how we should invest our money. That's the only reason we bring you on the show, other than to just have good conversation with a very intellectually intelligent man. We need more of that, too. But I want to definitely challenge the audience to begin to look out and look around and see how we can help one another reach our financial goals as a team, as opposed to so much individuality. So the last thing I would like to ask you is, give us a synopsis of what we want to get accomplished, the directions and the things that we should be looking at, whether they are news articles or television shows, things like that, so they will have some type of path to go on.
Oh, great idea. I maintain that Twitter, Twitter is the most powerful tool out there. Of all the tools, Twitter is the most not have an account, please open an account and start connecting and start communicating with others. Like you just said, building, you know, a community, starting with couples, that's incredible. That's a beautiful idea, because community is everything. And shared knowledge is what, you know, the incumbents try to keep from happening. They try to keep everyone from sharing the most important knowledge. But I can assure you that on Twitter, yeah, you might have to dig through some things, but it's all there. All the truth is there about what's going on in our financial systems and who's building. Who's building what? So if we know that the federal government has just launched the FedNow system, right, then you need to find out what companies are involved in FedNow. What's supporting that? What blockchain FedNow is built on? You know, you have to start looking at who's custodying these new assets, because they're going to have a custody option for these when they start to bring in institutional investors. This is where you want to start looking. You want to start looking at how they're implementing the new financial structure. We know that it's going to be digital, and we know that it's going to be built on a blockchain. There's your start.
Mm-hmm. Well, we want to definitely give a shout out to Joe Brown. He is a mentor of mine. He guides me along the way, and some kind of way, I think he had something to do with us building a relationship and a friendship. So I want to definitely give a shout out to him and his wife, Darlene, for being of service. And we talked about being of service to one another, and these people laid a foundation, and all we have to do is walk down this beautiful path, and our children's children will be blessed by the outcome of this. So I'm going to leave the last few minutes to you. You tell us whatever you want, and then we'll close out and we'll get prepared to do the next show.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show. That was great speaking with you. And I just hope that everyone is on their transformational journey to self-sovereignty.
All right. This has been King Scott Radio TV with investment specialist Lamont Cooley. These are just our opinions. There's nothing factual. We have ideas that we are just floating around, but we're doing it on the air to 1.6 million people just so that they can become aware. KingScottRadioTV.com is dedicated to doing these types of things. I also want to give a shout out to Lamont's father. I had a chance to interact with him and his family. So just, you know, all the ones that surround him, we just want to send a big shout out to you all. King Scott, RadioTV.com.